Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erio's original.
I was born with a special gift. The ability to mentally transform any situation into the worst case scenario in my own brain. My therapist calls my gift catastrophizing. And that's why I'm uniquely qualified to scrutinize and analyze history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame. They say history repeats itself. Not on my watch. My name is Rebecca Delgado Smith, and I am the Alarmist.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Alarmist, a comedy podcast where we take history's greatest tragedies and disasters and figure out who's to blame. This week we'll be discussing the murder of Selena. Let's get started.
Selena Quintanilla Perez was an American singer hailed the queen of Tejano music. Born in Lake Jackson, Texas, Selena was the youngest of three children. In the early 80s, her father and music manager, Abraham Quintanilla Jr., put together the band Selena y Los Dinos, which included her brother, A.B. Quintanilla, on bass and her sister, Suzette Quintanilla, on drums. Soon after, the band began touring their Tejano brand of music across venues in Texas. In 1989, Selena debuted her first of four studio albums, which topped the charts with hits like Biri Biri Bam Bam, Amor Prohibido, Como La Flor, and No Me Queda Más. In December 1994, she began recording her crossover album, Dreaming of You. Selena was also a fashion designer and opened two boutique stores in the South Texas area. In January 1995, Selena's father learned that Selena's fan club president and boutique store manager, Yolanda Saldívar, had embezzled $60,000 in forged checks. On March 9th, 1995, the family confronted her and demanded Saldívar provide bank statements and forbid her from contacting Selena. Selena agreed to secretly meet Saldívar alone at the Days Inn Motel in Corpus Christi, where she was staying, on the morning of March 31st, 1995. At 11:48 a.m. that morning, Saldívar shot Selena in her motel room on the lower right shoulder, severing an artery. Later that afternoon, at 1:05 p.m., Selena was pronounced dead from loss of blood and cardiac arrest at a nearby hospital.
she was 17 days shy of her 23rd birthday. Her album, Dreaming of You, was released posthumously and reached number one in the Billboard charts. Selena is one of the most celebrated Mexican-American entertainers of the late 20th century and was named by Billboard magazine as the top-selling Latin artist of the 1990s. She is credited with propelling the Latin and Tejano genre of music into the mainstream market.
This is 6 News at 6 with today's top story.
One of the biggest stars in Tejano music, Corpus Christi's Selena, is dead.
The woman suspected of shooting Selena is still holding police at bay. You're looking at a live picture right now coming to you from Navigation, where the standoff continues. She has a gun and has it pointed at her head.
Fun facts, aka death stats. Selena was also called the Tejano Madonna for her clothing choices. She was particularly known for sporting bustiers on stage. Selena's first language was English. Although most of her music is in Spanish, she did not speak the language at first. One of her most famous quotes, "Me siento muy excited," was while being interviewed by Spanish language press. In 1987, Selena won Female Vocalist of the Year at the Tejano Music Awards. She would go on to win it again for 9 consecutive years after that. In February 1997, the biopic Selena premiered starring a relatively unknown Jennifer Lopez. This was J-Lo's breakthrough performance. Selena was married to Chris Perez, the lead guitarist in her band. On March 30th, the night before her murder, Yolanda Saldívar contacted Selena and told her that she had been raped while on a recent trip to Mexico. She asked Selena to meet her at the motel where she was staying at. Selena went to meet her, but Perez accompanied her. On their drive back home that night, the singer realized Saldívar had failed to give her the correct bank statements she needed. Saldívar then contacted Selena, asking her to take her to the hospital because she was bleeding due to the attack. It is believed that this was her attempt to get Selena to visit her alone, but Perez convinced Selena that it was too late for her to go back that night. Selena did not tell her husband that she had agreed to meet Saldívar the next morning. That was the morning she was murdered.
So with us today, we have one of my best friends and my writing partner, Jessica Eason. Welcome, Jess.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
And of course, our producer, Amanda.
Hi, everyone.
And fact checker, Chris.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up? It's Chris, the fact checker who gets easily distracted.
Before we get started talking about Selena and this incredible tragedy, which, I mean, I know that you cried.
I did. I cried.
I cried. She cried when watching
the movie a couple days ago. I'm a little late to the party. I mean, I remember when she was killed.
Yes.
But I was in my white phase at that point and not really connected to being Latin.
Well, you're going to have to explain that because that will sound weird to people. So Jess is adopted.
Yes.
So that's the backstory.
You're all caught up. I'm Colombian. My parents are wonderful white people from Massachusetts. So I grew up thinking I was white, except for all the racists that reminded me I wasn't. Anyways, the point is I wasn't really in touch with anything to do with my Colombian.
You weren't listening to Tejano music at the
no,
time.
No, I was listening to probably, you know, old school rock.
Springsteen.
all that stuff. Led Zeppelin, you know, things that were 20 years before I was even, whatever.
It's very Colombian.
Very Colombian of me, yes. And a lot of pop music, but not Selena.
Okay.
And then, but I do know, I remember when she was killed. I mean, it made news. It didn't matter if you didn't know. So I was suddenly introduced to her.
Right.
I've always known who she is, but I didn't really know her until a couple of days
ago. So let's get started with who's to blame for the murder of Selena. Now,
I know. I have an unpopular opinion, I feel.
I can't wait to hear. I mean, maybe we should do like a step-by-step account. The morning of the murder, Selena wakes up at 7:30. She says goodbye to her husband. And around 9 o'clock, Selena takes Yolanda to the hospital where there seemed to be no sign of the alleged sexual assault. So they're driving back to the motel and Selena tells Saldívar that it'd be best if they stayed apart
because they don't want to get her dad upset.
Right.
The whole back and forth is that the dad says that, you know, she's stealing from us. You need to cut all ties.
Yes.
And Selena's like, I want to keep her in because she has some paperwork, something due to taxes. So she's trying to maintain this relationship with her. Now, they opened up the briefcase. They weren't there. So in this argument, she opens this satchel that's supposed to be containing bank statements and throws it on the bed. And that's when the gun comes out. Oh. So the gun had been in the briefcase that she opens up and throws on the bed. You know, there's a back and forth. Mm-hmm. Some think that Yolanda just pointed it at her and in a fit of rage killed her. Yolanda says that the gun was to scare Selena and she was going to point it at her own head.
Okay.
According to Yolanda, she turned around to leave and that's when she got shot. This is at 11:48. Saldivar shoots her. Selena runs from the room to the lobby of the hotel, leaving a trail of blood for 392 feet. People said that she was clutching her chest and screaming, help me, I've been shot.
Right.
And supposedly Yolanda was still chasing after her, pointing the gun and calling her a bitch. Now, I read this. That was on Wikipedia.
Okay.
That was on Wikipedia.
So, we don't know.
Selena then collapses on the floor of the lobby at 11:49. The manager calls 911. The ambulances get there 2 minutes later. Selena screams at the staff, telling them to lock the doors. She'll shoot me again. And then the singer's last words were, Yolanda, room 158.
Well, I'm going to compose the Selena Who's to Blame board, which built into it is number one, Yolanda Saldivar, because she was tried and
convicted.
Yes. Following the murder, there was a standoff with police. She threatened to kill herself. I believe it lasted about 11 hours. So, yes, I think, Chris, she was definitely tried and...
She's just on the board.
Yolanda
is the board. And we'll go around her. But yeah, Yolanda is the board.
Right.
So,
what a crazy, horrible woman.
But who is Yolanda? That's the big question, right?
Yes, who is Yolanda? They don't go into that in the movie. They do a good job because they want to celebrate Selena and not the murderer, which is good.
The movie, you know, it is a bit of sugarcoating of Selena's life.
Yes, of course. I feel like it was more that it probably would have been grittier if she was still alive, but because she's passed, they wanted to celebrate all the magic that she was and her talent and her youth and her...
Well, she's a very tragic figure. You know, she died just before she was about to, you know,
crossover. Huge song. Everyone knows that song.
Of course. I mean, I would play the CD. I had a boombox that was on the floor of my bedroom, and I would play that CD and lay next to the boombox on the floor, almost cradling. But so you know, it was going to be her big moment.
Yes, it was.
And that's why it's so tragic. Anyway, who is Yolanda?
Yes.
So in 91, Saldivar Yolanda, she's a registered nurse. And she was a super fan of Selena.
Yes, super fan, right? She was the head of the fan club.
In 91, she contacts Selena's dad and says she wants to start a fan club for the singer. She says she only tried calling him 3 times. The dad says she called her 15 times, finally got through. She pitched him her idea for this fan club, and he agreed, okay, fine, you can start this fan club. According to Wikipedia, Yolanda became the founder and acting president of the Selena fan club in San Antonio in June of 1991. Mm-hmm. As president, she was responsible for membership benefits and collecting $22 in exchange for products promoting Selena, which were a t-shirt bearing the singer's name, exclusive interviews with the band, a fact sheet about Selena and Los Dinos, and notifications about upcoming concerts. Mm-hmm. So this is what $22 got you. And the proceeds were supposed to go to a charity. She starts this off. It's going really well. Apparently, Yolanda becomes a great assistant. She really gets about 8,000 fans mm-hmm. to sign up by 1994.
Yeah.
And Selena and Saldivar and Yolanda, like, start this
friendship.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to television news reporter and anchor woman Maria Celeste Arraraz, people noticed how eager Yolanda was to impress Selena and did anything that the singer told her to do. Someone told Arraraz if Selena would say jump, Yolanda would jump three times. So she was definitely...
yeah, she's crazy.
She's, I guess, what's the word?
Overzealous.
Overzealous.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, it's a nice way of putting it.
That is nice.
How old is Yolanda?
So Yolanda at the time, Chris yes. Maybe can find out.
Well, she was born in 1960, so at the time...
It's 95.
In 95, so she was 35. Selena 22. Something.
22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, she's
that's interesting
older.
To think about. That's kind of the age range we're all in. And at this point in our lives, to become obsessed with the 22-year-old
pop
star. That is a great point.
And would you ever want to hire that person?
Right.
I've reached out to Haley Steinfeld's father a couple of times asking if I could start a fan club for her.
Gross.
I haven't heard back. But 15, I'm going to get up to, I'm going to try it 15 times. I'm
That's
gonna
the magic number.
I'm going to do the Saldivar number, that where she finally broke through and became the fan club.
That's right.
President.
Got to keep trying.
Yeah, if you don't try, you'll never know.
That's right.
So she's definitely showing signs
yes,
of...
There are red flags.
But at the same time, you know, you're 22 years old. Selena's 22.
Well, it's not Selena's fault. I'm saying Yolanda's.
Well, definitely, Yolanda, yeah. But like, did she? She didn't really see the signs, is what I'm saying. As a 22-year-old, maybe you don't understand. Although I would have been a little bit hesitant to hang out with someone that was like almost 15 years older than me. In that,
well, the some of the behavior that Saldivar showed later on in their relationship, where she like withheld these like tax papers or whatever,
right?
It was clearly she was manipulative and was able to control Selena and all that stuff. So you imagine like those type of people, they can be very charming with the people they want to manipulate, and so there was probably, I mean,
that's true. And there are accounts of her being two-faced. Like people said in the boutiques that, you know, while Selena was there, she would be super nice, and then the moment she left, she would just like fire employees if she just didn't like them. Mm. And she had a lot of control. She then rises from being her fan club president to the boutique store managers.
Yes.
So Selena opens up two boutiques in Texas and puts Yolanda as to manage, you know, there, because she did such a good job with the fan club, she's the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
So that's when she gets authorized to write and cash checks. So she gets access to bank accounts associated with the fan club and with the boutiques. And she's also given an American Express card for the purpose of conducting business. It's said that instead she used it to rent Lincoln Town Cars. So again, it's 94.
94,
so,
yeah.
Entertain associates in upmarket restaurants.
Oh.
And buy two cellular phones, which she carried. Now, this is 1995.
No, I know.
Have cellular phones.
I know.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
There are big phones. It's like Zach Morris size.
So Saldivar actually gives up her career as an in-home nurse for patients with terminal cancer and decides to fully invest her time in running the Selena fan club, which she was earning less than she would as a nurse.
Right. She's finally found someone to glom. She's a parasite. She found someone to suck the blood out of, and she's not going to give it up.
I would imagine that the closer and closer she's getting to Selena, the higher the stakes are for her. And to be told that you're getting cut off.
Yeah.
It must have been like devastation.
Because to her, she thought they were her family. It feels like she got her way in and then acted like she owned Selena. And Selena loved her.
Yeah, that's the complicated part. First of all, I can't stop getting this image. I can't like shake this image of
Yolanda. That you just kind of blew my mind that she was 35 years old at the time or something. Because every image I've seen of her, she looks like she's in her 60s.
She does.
She
she does.
But in all fairness, like, it's the 90s. Like, Selena looked like she was 35.
It's true.
She did, but you could still see she was young. I'm with you. You would never think she was 35. You would think she was a 65-year-old grandmother.
Yeah.
And that's who they cast as the actress also in the movie is a 60-something-year-old woman. She was not a 35-year-old
was
woman.
Was she really?
Yes, I just watched. She's that actress who plays every. She's in every
the,
movie. Oh,
the grandma.
She's always the grandma. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there a romantic attraction there between, like, Yolanda? Did she ever have a boyfriend?
Well, that's a. Thank you for bringing that up. So
you're welcome.
There are a lot of rumors, man, and this has been a long
rumors of what
rumors that Yolanda was in love with Selena, and there might have been some kind of relationship.
No.
Well,
Selena had a relationship with this woman who looks like she's 65.
This is definitely something that has been in the Hispanic media.
So their relationship is, they're speculating that the relationship was romantic. There's nothing to back that up, though. There's no evidence thereof. It's all speculation.
It's all speculation. Okay. Yes.
So I think we can maybe do in an effort to move to another, get somebody else on the board and add some competition in this obviously lopsided already victory.
Okay. So this is
just put Yolanda Saldivar.
Well, but this is the other thing. It is speculated as well, and it's actually been kind of confirmed that Selena was having an affair at the time of the murder.
But not with Yolanda.
Not with Yolanda.
Okay.
With a Mexican plastic surgeon.
What?
Yes. And okay, so this is what happens. Selena is going to start a boutique in Mexico.
Oh,
she's
nice.
Going to open a third boutique.
Got it.
And while she's going to Mexico, she meets this guy who's a fan and he pursues her.
Is he really good looking? Because her husband was not.
Well, he is not. I did not think he was good looking. His name is Dr. Martinez, Ricardo Martinez.
Okay.
And for years and years and years, he never
says anything.
Admitted to it. He never admitted to it. And it's said that she called him around 10 a.m.
before the day
of her murder, probably to, talk about it. Well,
Sorry. You're right. Get help.
Maybe get help. I don't know. But he was in surgery, and so he didn't take the call.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Put him on the board.
Well, we got to get some names on this board.
Let's put Dr. Martinez up on the board.
Dr. Martinez.
And this is the rumor.
I just want to understand what you're saying here. Just for clarity. Are you suggesting that there is more to this murder than the courts have decided? Perhaps Yolanda Saldivar is not totally to blame, and that she's sort of mixed up into this relationship.
Well, let's get it straight. Yolanda pulled the trigger.
She is responsible
for her murder.
But I guess you could say, is it celebrity? Is it youth? Selena's youth. Because I think if you were a little older, you would never go to that woman's hotel room by yourself.
Right.
Can you imagine some dude calling you and saying, come to my hotel room by yourself? You would be like, no.
Well, this is where Yolanda's manipulation over Selena played such a big factor because the boyfriend or the husband
said no.
Perez said no.
That's right.
I'll go with you.
That's right.
But then she ripped her away from him.
Well, because of youth.
She said she was raped.
But she knew she wasn't raped at that point.
No, yes. No, she didn't. She took her to the hospital
that morning.
Oh, that morning. Yeah.
Right.
Well, then the minute she finds out she's not raped, she could have left. She didn't have to go back alone to the hotel room with someone that just lied to you about being raped.
Exactly. Right. But this is what has been speculated, that Yolanda knew about the affair. Because she was the
go-between. Exactly.
Blackmail.
Okay, so now I think we can put Dr. So-and-so. What's his
name? Dr. Martinez.
Dr. Martinez.
Here's the other thing, is that the dad is also very protective of Selena's memory, right?
Of course.
And also, he's been known to sue anyone who slanders her name.
Careful what you say, Jess. And Amanda.
I know, no lawsuit.
And, he sued
who?
The husband, Chris.
Why?
The widow. Because he wrote a book and then he was going to sell it to have it made as a movie. And he owns all of her likeness.
So is that behavior that we can sort of that can direct us to blaming him in any way? Like, was that behavior he exhibited while she was a pop star that drove her to some kind
of... seeking out a different parent?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, she was 9 years old when she started.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened behind closed doors in that family, right? We'll never know. Their restaurant had...
closed
had
down.
Gone bankrupt.
Yep.
And so they were in need of money. And so who knows, you know, what the intention was to kind of like push her to perform and to kind of like... She was the cash cow for the family. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's the possibility that he was this controlling father and this scary figure in his life, and we could possibly put him up on the board.
I think we should at least put him up on the board.
However,
yes.
Given his tendency towards legal action, I'm wondering if we, I don't know, give him a pass?
I don't know. It's up Amanda. I'll leave that up to Amanda.
Well... let's see. Maybe we don't specifically put him by name on the board, but
right.
I do think there is a gaggle, for lack of a better word, of enablers whose job it was to protect Selena and who didn't do that job when they let this psychopath interloper into the inner circle.
I like that.
And so I think, I mean, I know that you mentioned like who was involved in hiring Yolanda. Was that the father?
The father.
There's the father and the husband. To me, and this is just conjecture, but I just feel like they were supposed to protect her and everyone was exploiting her in a way.
Right. I think there was, that was a big part of her life, right? She was the youngest one of the family and could have, clearly she was easily manipulated. I mean, clearly
she's
based
young.
On Yolanda's, you know, what Yolanda did to her. Because she's young. So maybe we put like
showbiz dads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
showbiz parents.
Stage parents. What was the mother? Sorry, for what happened
she
to the mother?
She was involved, but I think that the dad was the most.
They portray it in the movie, which of course, who knows what how true the movie is, but they portray it like the dad really runs the whole thing.
Yeah.
The mom is there and she like softens things. And I know they candy coated the movie.
Yeah.
Even with the candy coat, the dad has moments where you're like, that's scary and wrong.
Yeah.
Where he just throws things and screams things and people are like, it's okay, daddy. And I'm like, no, it's not. He's out of control.
Yes.
And he had a Mexican band that sang doo-wop music and he was thrown out and not accepted because they were Mexican.
Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of like his dream through his daughters. Mm-hmm. We have that. So celebrity parents are like, I didn't make it.
Yeah.
You will make it. And
I mean, to me, what's most compelling about this case is that there are everybody has their trusted inner circle.
Which yes.
That would be my pitch for what we call this group of people. It's like a trusted inner circle that's meant to look after each other and offer good advice. It's not always the parents. It's sometimes brothers and sisters. Sometimes it's, where was Chris Perez in all this? Isn't he
said,
a trusted
don't go.
Inner circle?
He said don't go, and she did lie to him that
she
morning.
She lied.
Okay, but also shouldn't he, where was his spidey sense? I mean, you know, people are...
But at the same time, it's like she's an adult. She's 22 years old, and, you know, if she wants to go anywhere, she should be allowed.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right? So...
Okay. So we'll say... Do you want to say... stage parents?
Stage parents.
Okay. So far on the board, we have three people: Yolanda Saldivar, Dr. Martinez, and stage parents. Do we want to add more?
Yes, I do. Now, I want to talk about the fashion industry.
Okay.
So, is it possible that the fashion industry and the stress that the fashion industry provides or puts on running a business, is that to blame? Is that what caused Yolanda to maybe fudge some numbers?
No, I think Yolanda's a train wreck. I think Yolanda wanted that. Who knows? What did she do with that money? Do we ever know? Oh, the high scale dinners and her cell phones.
Yeah,
and
I think we should put Yolanda's greed up on there.
Oh, yeah. I think it's her greed and her lack of family.
We'll put
lack of family.
We'll
tell us more.
Well, where's her whole family? Where's her family? Like, aren't they like,
where are they? Trusted inner circle.
She has no trusted inner circle.
Lack of inner circle.
She
Yolanda's
has no
lack of inner circle. Let's put that up on the board.
Yeah. It's like her entitlement too.
Yeah.
That she is owed this certain lifestyle.
Yes.
And she is, I think you hit it over the head when you said she's a parasite.
Yes.
I mean, she's latching on to someone vulnerable to take advantage of them.
That's right. And she's going to be a nurse. She finally sees, I could be part of this limelight. Like, she starts off, I'm just going to be the head of the fan club.
Uh-huh.
And then she just
she's
is
a
like,
climber.
She's a climber. And they let her in, right? Back to the inner circle. They let her in. They made a big mistake letting her in.
So I don't know about your fashion idea.
I know, Rebecca, I don't want a few times Tommy has tried to get the fashion industry on the board.
Yeah. I do have a you know,
some kind of vendetta against cool shirts and stuff. What's your problem?
I don't trust it. Not to be trusted.
Not to be trusted.
But I think we should put Yolanda's lack of inner circle on the
board.
So
maybe we can put trusted inner circle, and that could apply both to the Selena's inner circle who failed to protect her, and the lack of inner circle that Yolanda had. So we'll put trusted inner circle.
I have a quick question that maybe you guys can answer. So in from my perception of this whole thing and the character of Yolanda, it was that she was obsessed with Selena, like wanted to be her. But I wonder if that was real or if she really was this kind of cynical succubus who's trying to get ahead. Do you have any insight on if she really did have an unhealthy obsession?
Well, she changed her story back and forth after the murder. So it seemed like she was an attention-seeking individual who, after the murder, you know, she liked the limelight. She liked the climb and the idea of losing it all kind of maybe like it made her spiral, but afterwards, like she requested to be interviewed, and she would like change her story. And she said that she to this day says that there's a secret that she knows, and this comes out in the book that for the reporter that I was talking about, Maria Celeste. She says that there's a secret, and she told Maria Celeste the secret, but said that it was not on the record, Yeah.
Wow.
So this reporter knows the secret, but has not said what it is. And Yolanda has said that she's taking it to her grave. So, but that is also like
manipulation.
That in itself, it is manipulation. Because if she really knows the secret, and why is she talking about it? Why is she like taunting us and being like, I know a secret?
To your question, Amanda, I think it has less to do with an obsession over Selena in particular. And it's more about this sort of erratic sort of behavior emanating from this woman. It's almost like it could have been any other sort of pop star, mm-hmm. but she just sort of happened to latch on to Selena. I don't know, my perspective reading the story.
Yeah. Maybe because her smart, weird, manipulative ways is she knew to go after someone that was like her. Because if she went after some white pop star, I don't think they're going to let... What is her background? I mean, she's
Mexican.
Latin. Right, yeah. So she's... You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to let some 35 Mexican woman into, like, I don't know, Harry Styles' backyard. But, like, if it's, like, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, someone that you looks like you and feels like you. And because Selena was so big and I'm the first Tejano woman, I'm the first Mexican woman crossing over. There's a lot of pride in having your people come with you and hiring someone that is of the same ethnicity. There's a lot of that. I think that she kind of was like,
she took advantage of that sort of
that connection.
It's a very interesting avenue to turn down, because if there were more of representation at the time of Latin American musicians and pop stars, would there be this sort of obsessive preciousness or attention paid to Selena from these super fans, i.e., and especially, I mean,
They were Yolanda super fans. Yeah. She had like a crazy following. I mean, as is portrayed in the movie where the stage almost breaks. Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you though, right? Because there's no representation. The fact that she's the first one makes everyone go too far, lose their mind.
So maybe cultural representation is the lack thereof.
Lack of cultural representation. It's making them lose their minds. So I just want to throw out one last one.
Mm-hmm.
Are taxes to blame? Taxes, the IRS, and taxes.
Okay.
Okay.
Why?
Let me explain.
Again and again, it says that Selena maintained her relationship with Saldivar, even though she was advised that she was unstable, and even though she knew that Saldivar had stolen from her because she needed paperwork necessary for her taxes. Why is doing your taxes so confusing? I'm just saying that for myself. And number two, I personally believe that the stress of filing her taxes led Selena to make some life-altering decisions, like go back to meet Yolanda. Okay? Now, according to an article I found on CNN.com, the American Psychological Association's annual Stress in America report shows that money has consistently been ranked a top concern for adults since 2007. Our body responds to stressful life events like tax day through a series of biological responses. Fight or flight is the body's reaction to perceived threats and stress. After producing hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol, there are changes throughout the body, such as an increased heart rate. While this response can keep us safe, chronic stress results in anxiety, high blood pressure, and even heart disease. She did die from cardiac arrest, but I think it was more of the gunshot.
The severed artery.
I'm just saying, why is she keep going back? Now, the rumor of the affair and the potential, you know, whatever was going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, that could have added to it, is what I'm saying. So the taxes could be a cover-up, is all I'm saying.
Okay. Ugh.
Yeah, this woman Yolanda's got this tax form I need so bad. Arg, it's going to be so frustrating when April 16th comes around and I don't have that paper.
It's the 15th, Chris. It's the 15th.
Oh, that's why I'm always late, I guess. I'm putting it on the board just because. Why not?
Well, no, I'm actually being serious.
You put it down. I think it's more youth on the board. I think she thought.
Do we have youth on the board?
I think it's because
youth
I feel
is
like
not on the board.
Selena's youth. We should put that.
I think it's because that thing of she thinks, right? Everyone tells her no, and she does it anyway, which is youth. When you're like, I know better than my parents. I know better than my husband. I'm stronger than I think I am. I'm the celebrity.
Yeah.
Her whole life, she's been told what to do. Yeah. And she's finally like, I got married at 20.
Well, and also she didn't tell her parents.
Say it again.
She didn't tell her dad or her parents.
Of course she
didn't.
She did. There's a lot of rebellion going on that's leading her into the arms of a crazy person, like youth or rebellion. Like the idea of just thinking you're stronger, you're immortal.
Yes.
I think that's of her mortality.
Really good point.
So Selena's rebellious youthfulness.
Yes.
So I think we should loop in our expert. We have a really special treat for everyone. We're going to be calling Miguel Angel Mascuan, who is a Spanish pop culture guru, talking head, and he is definitely going to, I'm sure he's going to have some interesting things to say.
Okay, Miguel, so what is your take on Selena and the murder of Selena? Do you think Yolanda is solely to blame, or do you think there's more to it?
I think that basically what happened with Selena was that she was taken away from all the origins, you know, from the family. She's always been sold as a humble girl from a humble family in a humble place. And as soon as she got into show business, she started having experiencing success and getting acquaintance with, you know, other people, different scenarios, being successful within the industry. I think she was developing into something different than what the family had envisioned for her. She had all this humongous fan club and a lot of people in entourage. And even though Yolanda Saldívar, I think it was really, really, you know, the main factor in her demise, there's rumors that she was in love with this surgeon, that a very sophisticated guy that was showing her a different part of life that she didn't experience before. She was married to, you know, her first boyfriend, the one that she met when she was a teenager. And somehow I think that she was about to fly away and they have to cut her wings.
Wow. So this is all kind of corroborating a lot of things that we thought could have been at play here. Before I let you go, though, do you think the stress of the fashion industry, could it have played a part?
In a way, one can say yes, because Selena was becoming a fashion designer herself. She had this line of clothing, and it was supposed to sell very well. So Yolanda was more in love with Selena per se than with Selena, you know, the artist, the singer, the fashion designer. And I think that she was also thinking that Selena was getting away from her, because Selena was, through the fashion line, she was getting acquaintance with different people, another crowd that was foreign to her before and foreign to Yolanda and hard to control by Yolanda also.
Okay. So this is really great. Thank you so much, Miguel, for
my pleasure.
All of your insight.
I feel like Miguel really just confirmed that the fashion industry should be put up on the board.
All right, the fashion industry is going to be put on the board, but that's all we're going to talk about.
But I think it was really helpful because there are a lot of things that are being corroborated. And I think what he said about her, like, having this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think
transforming, leaving, becoming someone else they can't control.
They can't control her anymore.
That sort of falls under the trusted inner circle kind of category.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's a good cue to sort of run through the board and see what we have up there and make a decision. Okay. So who's to blame for the murder of Selena? Yolanda Saldívar.
Popular opinion.
Dr. Martinez, the affair. Mm. Stage parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Trusted inner circles.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of cultural representation.
Yikes. Always to blame.
Taxes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Selena's rebellious youthfulness.
Yes.
Or the fashion industry.
Right off the bat, we can take perhaps a lack of cultural representation off of the board.
You can. I will always blame white people, but you can do that. I think we all will.
No.
2020, baby.
For the record, I do not blame white
people. Lack of cultural representation didn't help, but I'm not sure.
Didn't help, but it didn't kill her. It didn't kill her.
Okay, it kills a lot of people of color, but sure.
It sucks. It sucks, generally.
No, take it off. Take it off.
No, yeah, yeah. We have a heated jest.
I'm not heated. This is not heated.
You have not seen the heated jest.
No. I want to keep the fashion industry on.
Then just keep it. Keep going.
What about taxes? Can we take taxes off the board? I still think they're a huge factor, though, in the stress that they played in
her
life.
But they also build roads and hospitals and research and NASA.
So what about the affair, Dr. Martinez?
Yeah, that can come off.
Why can that come off?
I think because you can put it with the trusted inner circle or her
spreading her wings.
Yes. I think that can fall under a lot.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He can go as a sub.
Exactly. So what we have left is Yolanda, stage parents, trusted inner circle, Selena's rebellious youthfulness, and the fashion industry. Okay, I'm ready to take the fashion industry off.
Oh, glory be.
And you just got it on there.
I know.
And Tommy Hilfiger breathes a sigh of relief.
This is getting tough because I think that we can take stage parents off.
Yeah. I think so, too, because you could do trusted inner circles.
That kind of embodies it a little bit better. I think that's part of it.
Yes.
Being a stage parent. So, again, we have her youthfulness, her rebellious youthfulness, her trusted inner circle, or Yolanda herself, the one with the gun.
Yes.
Feels like a fait accompli.
Yes.
It feels like there's only one direction we can go here.
I mean, I don't think that we can blame her rebelliousness for her own murder.
No, true.
I think that it might have...
Victim blaming.
Yeah,
totally.
And absolutely. I don't think we can blame her
for
that.
No.
She was just being herself.
That's right. She was just being her.
22-year-old self.
YOLOing mm-hmm. her way through life.
Just like you do in your youth.
Exactly. I'm still doing it.
You are. You're YOLOing.
We have Yolanda and we have the trusted inner circle.
Yeah.
And just for the record, while we know that Yolanda murdered Selena.
We do know this.
We do know this. Who's to blame for the murder of Selena?
Are you asking me? Or are we going around the circle?
I have a feeling.
Okay, go.
And I want to say that I think that it's more than just Yolanda pulling the trigger. It's that trusted inner circle and what was happening, the messiness of what was happening, that played a huge role
in allowing her in
and also like keeping her in and like,
let's
what
put
do
it
think?
This way. A trusted inner circle maybe allows in some unsavory characters occasionally, but they don't always end up in murder. There was something that elevated this situation that you wonder if a trusted inner circle could have protected against, right? So in a way, saying like, how could they have known? Can we really blame them for not knowing that Yolanda was going to kill Selena?
But also, isn't Yolanda in the circle? So it's not like Yolanda is not included if you choose trusted inner circle. She's one of them, but it's the whole thing. It's the dysfunction of the trusted inner circle that includes Yolanda and the enabling and the pushing, you know, someone into the leeching onto celebrity that resulted in the circumstances to have this psychopath kill Selena.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it is Yolanda.
Yes.
Very good case. And then perfect
turnaround. The woman that has the gun that shoots another person.
At the end of the day, I have to agree. While I really want to blame the inner circle because I have a lot of anger towards them for not having protected her and for having...
They did kick Yolanda out and they told her not to see her.
They did. But who knows? You know, we're assuming... Here's what it is. I don't trust that what they're telling us is true.
Oh, that these are, yes.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
So the lack of like trust that there was between all of them and their like desire to control Selena and her money and, you know, all of that is sketchy to me. It's really sketch.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they didn't kill her. Yolanda did.
That's right. And so this this episode of The Alarmist is sort of harkens to the first episode of The Alarmist, mm-hmm. which was about the Titanic, because a lot of people, even though they knew the ending of the Titanic, went to see it anyway. And just like we pretty much knew the ending to this episode, we had it anyway.
Well, it's never actually happened before, but we've never blamed the actual person who did the crime. But I think that this might be a first The Alarmist.
Great.
So do you agree with me? Yolanda's
yes,
to blame?
Okay. 100%.
So that's it. It's settled. We're sending Yolanda Saldivar to the Alarmist jail. Wow. It's incredible. I can't believe this is the first time. We're making history in
2020
here at the Alarmist. But Jess, thank you so much for joining us and for helping us get to the bottom of who's to blame for the murder of Selena.
Always here for it.
On October 23rd, 1995, the jury deliberated for 2 hours before finding Saldivar guilty of murder. She was sentenced to life in prison with no eligibility of parole for 30 years. Dreaming of You, the crossover album Selena had worked on at the time of her death, was released in July 1995. It debuted at number one on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart, becoming the first album by a Latin artist to do so. Vote for who you think is to blame at thealarmistpodcast.com. And don't be alarmed if it takes you to Facebook. They're linked. Join us next week as we'll be covering the kidnapping of the Lindbergh baby.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.